gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Monday, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, did we have a weekend? Jim Ward over there, voice deity extraordinaire at my. Okay, here's how hilarious Jim is. You invite him over to a party. He doesn't just come. He brings, like, an entire band set up. He brought an amp. He brought an electric guitar. He brought harmonicas.
And harmonica mic. And yes. Wow. Yes. So.
He was like a roadie. I'm like, Jim, where are you going? He kept like going out to the car and carrying more stuff in.
It's like he's a roadie for podcast.
He needs roadies. Yeah, like you'll call him. Can you come to a party? Oh, I don't have any roadies this weekend. I'll need to hire a crew. Anyway, he was awesome. Rockstar cheers. We had a little guitar party. And Jim Ward with the...
Was boy band there?
No.
No?
You would have thought that his Mick Jagger impression would have lured him in.
Yes. Like moth to flame.
We have another famous musician on the street. We should lure him in next time. With
really?
The sounds of our...
I don't think you've told me about this famous musician.
I don't think I'm supposed to say. I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, really? Boy.
All right. Well, meanwhile, we kick it over the frog video. This is why we're a nation of dummies, okay?
I haven't seen that. Maybe because I look at, like, important stuff on the internet.
You don't look at the Yahoo animal videos.
No.
No, that's what's wrong with the world. Frog relaxes, world goes wild. Video. Here.
I've never seen a frog do that.
She was caught on video while sitting on the edge of a deck, long legs hanging down, a belly sticking out, and then she had her hands on her, like, knees, like a person.
It's really weird.
Stupid frog. What are you doing? The video quickly went viral and inspired some to ask if the frog was in some way fastened to the deck. The animal rights activists
like
were activated.
To the deck?
Yes. according to the person who posted the clip, that isn't so. She said the frog is okay. There are no nails, no glue, animal abuse, etc. So everybody relax. Everybody was a little...
Relax like a frog.
That frog is stapled to that, and it's not true. Not true.
All right.
That's...
Did someone try to lick the frog to see if they get
high?
No. It's not that kind of frog. It's
No.
It's a toad with a... Anyway.
Jim Ward on harmonica and the frog. That was the highlight of my weekend. Oh, and yesterday, had a fabulous day. I got to meet Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, who's going to come on the show.
Sweet.
There was a little fundraiser, a little party out here, and she's awesome.
Okay.
Helped, you know, lead the fight for marriage equality in New York and yada, yada. Yeah, it's political fundraising season. Guess what I'm going to do?
Donate a lot of money to a lot of people.
No, I'm going to meet the president soon.
Wow.
They're raising a fundraiser and Pink is playing.
Yeah. Wow. You know, to go to those things, you have to donate. Like you
did
at Oprah's.
I know. I'm pretty cheap. But I reserve one big one a year. And I'm going to do the Obama one.
Or every
one
4 years.
Yes. See,
okay.
I got a 50 and a couple 20s.
Not going to get you into Oprah's meadow.
I went for the same reason everyone did, to see Oprah's house. And then you couldn't get anywhere near her house.
Right. Of course not.
Or she would shiv you. There were snipers. It was really...
Korean missiles, you know.
So, yeah. Exactly. I almost got hit with a rocket-launched missile because I tried to get in her bedroom.
So where's this pink one going to be? At Oprah's house?
No. Oh. No, here in L.A.
Oh.
Because you know why? Because in the words of the immortal Pink, it is so on right now.
Well, I've heard.
Game on. Mm-hmm. 2012. I'm in.
So if it's not Oprah's house, it must be Rob Reiner's house.
No, it's a place here, a hotel here somewhere.
Oh. It's probably that one in Century City they have them all at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Oh.
All right. Why am I make this as a state secret?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's
available to the press. I'm sure I could find out.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like an exclusive invitation.
Right.
We invite you to empty your bank account and come to this thing. All right.
You got money? Not for long.
No, you don't. Let's put our vacuum cleaner into your account.
You should have gone to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, my God, how funny is the president? He's handsome and romantic, and he's funny. He is funny.
He is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Do you have some? Give us some
sure.
Crunchy audio.
Anyway, it's great to be here this evening in the vast, magnificent Hilton Ballroom, or what Mitt Romney would call a little fixer-upper.
I like my favorite joke of Jimmy Kimmel's was the president's so skinny, North Korea sends him food aid.
Yeah.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke.
Do you want to hear the dog eating joke?
Oh, all right, fine.
Okay,
yes,
here we go.
He does not do happy.
Here we go. No.
Even Sarah Palin's getting back into the game. Guest hosting on the Today Show. Which reminds me of an old saying. What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? A pit bull is delicious. A little soy sauce.
I didn't hear that part, the soy sauce bit. That's funny.
Oh, but, boy. All right.
I mean, so what do you think about that? Is that appropriate?
But, I mean, you know, I mean, normally I don't like any kind of animal cruelty jokes, except in Something About Mary. That was funny. That was a dog thing.
That's the only part of the movie I was a little hinky about.
But they brought him back to life, you know. They cleared
him. Yes, exactly. It was like E.T., only funnier.
But obviously this wasn't a joke about eating dogs. It was about
them making a joke about him trying dogs as a 6-year-old.
False equivalence again. With
Yeah,
but he got served dog and he ate it when he was 6, huh?
Yeah.
He's just not the same thing at all.
They can't. You know,
he got game. Adult,
ring the bell. School's in, sucker. You can't touch that.
He got game.
Right?
Yeah.
Just saying.
I'd like to see him do a comedy off with Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way. Julian Seattle sends me this picture everything he tries to do, like what the president does. Here's the president speaking to these huge, adoring crowds of students, you know, just being dead on the issues, being funny. And, oh, my God, this looks like a hostage crisis. Look at that.
Yeah.
The looks on their faces. They're all assembled behind him in a row.
That's Mitt Romney? Okay, yeah.
And they just literally look like, hey, God, someone shoot me.
Can't afford college. There's always night school.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Borrow money from your parents.
Right. Oh, my God. Julie writes,
Don't
Mama,
live with
even,
grandma
when,
for a while.
Even when they send Mitt off to controlled meetups with teeny little scraps of Americans, it usually doesn't go well. Did you see the dead, dull glaze over, please, God, get me the F out of here looks on the faces behind Mittens at his quote-unquote lecture? And here are the highlights, I mean the lowlights. Number one, railed against the stimulus at a college that took stimulus money.
Right.
Number two, told the kids to pull them up by their parents' money like he did. And number three, advised them to stop worrying about their student loan debt and focus on the national debt instead. Ooh, crowd pleasers all.
Wow.
Yeah, how ridiculous, right?
I think you should outsource your own job to China. That saved me a lot of time.
What did he say about that? Yeah, he said, just borrow money. Borrow $20,000 from your parents. Hello? Thurston, most people's parents don't have 20 grand sitting around. That's the problem.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with you? Just borrow money from your parents.
People say I'm out of touch. I pay a guy to be in touch for me.
A nation of parents slapping their forehead into their hand.
Face palms.
Oh, idiot.
Mitt said that you should give us $20,000. Oh, my God.
You got it in the piggy bank, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Mittens.
Jar?
No? Where is it? Oh, where's the 20 grand?
Boehner yesterday said Romney is very likable.
Okay. Well, compared to him.
Yeah, everyone in their own party hates him. Yeah. He said that he called Romney a very likable person, but said he hasn't.
When you have to reassure people that your candidate is very likable,
he
most certainly is not.
I know it seemed like all the other Republican candidates in the primary hated him with the heat of some white hot suns, but he's really very likable. Outside of that... And by the way, so he said he hasn't spoken to him recently. He said they've been playing phone tag. He said, we've traded some voicemails. I'm telling you right now, Boehner's drunk dialing him. You know why? because of this whole, the Romney, it's only because Romney said the thing about, you know, he had to match the president, Sam, for not letting the student loans double.
Right.
The Republicans had no intention of doing that until Romney
just
said it.
Just an afterthought. He walked back up to the mic. Oh, by the way.
I'm telling you.
Forget everything I said.
They were like Clarence Thomas wife calls. And
darn it! I don't know. I've been working at the tavern, and now you say what?
What the heck are you doing out there? You made us all look bad.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. I would give anything.
There's not enough pervert in the world to deal with you.
I was hanging out at the tavern, and then what the hell did you say? And I got to get my caucus to do something?
All right. And then he probably passed out and got Virginia Thomas to continue the drunk calls. Mitt Romney in the morning. All right. Jamie from Newton, Massachusetts. Why, looky here. Aw, training our daughter early. Oh, did we post that?
We did.
There's a picture of a baby watching me on TV.
Aww.
Who's a baby?
And everybody on Facebook noticed that there was a baby, and to the right in the picture, there was a wine rack.
Baby.
These are my people.
That's right.
There you
These
go.
Are my people.
You got a baby.
It's going to be a bar baby.
Buy a wine rack.
Look at you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Awesome. Dear Steph, my wife and I are coming to Sexy Liberal Boston in June in the meet and grow up section. Can't wait. We sent a picture of our daughter watching you intently on Current. She also gets her daily 20-minute dose of the Stephcast. It's only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Wow. As we drive her to daycare, Jamie Newton, who's indoctrinating the youth early. Join me.
I used to live right near Newton. It's a lovely town.
Lovely. Oh, by the way, speaking of Sexy Liberal, Minneapolis is very close to sellout. There's only about 20 VIP tickets left for May 12th with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang, and I get it. Get it. We're very excited. All right. So lots
get
to get
down
to.
On it.
Yeah, exactly.
As the kids say.
Mm-hmm. As Mr. Ward says, kids, get down
kids
on it.
1976? Was it
something
75?
Like that, yeah.
Well, what? Okay. 17 minutes after the hour.
No one said that yet.
Lots more crunchy audio goodness from the White House Correspondents' Dinner and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are dead. And also dry waves on my undertone. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. So raise your glass if you
are dead. I'm going to do shots to this song with Michelle Obama
at
the fundraiser.
That was the best auto-tuning I've ever heard.
Shush! You leave my Pink alone. I love Pink.
I like Pink too, but she doesn't really need the help. I mean, she's a good singer.
Yeah, she's a powerful singer.
Yeah. And it's just, it bothers me that everyone goes through this machine now, so they all sound exactly alike.
Says the guy that brings 16 machines to your house for a party.
That's for amplification. That's not for voice correction.
Right.
When you say we're having a little guitar party, Jim brings, you know, amps and electric and
well, one
harmonicas.
For the harmonica mic and
sure.
One for the guitar. Obviously.
Of course, yes. I didn't realize there'd be so much setup. I should have had him start
check,
at noon.
One, two, check. Sibilance, check.
23 minutes after the hour.
Two.
1-800-STEPH-12. Oh, Sue and Rockville with one of my favorites from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Hi, Sue.
Hey there, Steph. Hi, Luke.
Hello.
Well, first of all, you know, it's stimulus response because you played the bar baby bit, and that always means you're calling me or talking to me.
It's code.
It's code. There you go. But really, I was wondering whether Jimmy Kimmel, you'd receive his check because he's clearly stealing your material. I mean, for me, the best line of the night was when he said Keith Olbermann has more pink slips in his drawer than Marcus Bachman.
Hey! Hey!
That's good.
It's funny. Yeah, there was that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there was a lot of good ones. Let's see. This is the president at.
Take Mitt Romney. He and I actually have a lot in common. We also both have degrees from Harvard. And I have one. He has two. What a snob.
And I guess he got a thumbs up from Rick Santorum on that joke. Who was?
Yeah.
Who I guess apparently was just with us the whole campaign season. He's like, I know. Can you believe I said that?
I know, right?
All right. Yeah.
And Rick Santorum, by the way, got his degree from a public university.
Mm-hmm.
What a
I
snob.
Loved his, even he did his hot mic moment off stage. Did you see that? He was, you know, the thing that happened with the, what do you call it, the Russian president.
Mm-hmm.
He said off
stage.
Right. You know I was just avoiding saying that. Medvedev. He said, what am I doing here? He asked off stage. I'm opening for Jimmy Kimmel and telling knock-knock jokes to Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then he did, I love, my favorite was the, he said, last year at this time, this very weekend, we finally delivered justice to one of the world's most notorious individuals, and then a picture of Donald Trump came up. T and then a he. Okay. Steven.
Hugely not amused. Hugely.
Steven, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. A couple quick comments about President Obama's dog comments during the correspondence dinner.
Yes.
That Republicans are so aghast about this idea shows that they have no understanding that there are cultural differences in this world.
Yeah, well,
and the other is, I seem to remember that there were reality shows where people were eating animal entrails and brains and other things, and it doesn't make sense that the public should be up in arms about this either.
Right. Well, his humor is a little more, what's the word, sophisticated than theirs, in that he was obviously, like you said, Jim, making fun of their making fun of this.
Yeah. Like, trying
as trying to make it equivalent to strapping a dog on your roof for 12 hours until it poops itself. I mean, anyone recognizes that as animal cruelty. I mean, anyway, this is the president.
But I can take it because my stepfather always told me it's a boy-dog world out there.
And Jim, you're right. Lemons, you and I spoke it, speak as dog. Oh my God, I'm such a nervous mother. I had a mobile vet come again to see Max because and he's fine. I'm going to be pretty much broke and living under a bridge by the end of political fundraising season, and by the time I get my dog checked 17 times for I did X-rays, I did blood, and I think he just had a bumbly tumbly.
They can do all that.
That's
in
a medical
van?
Term. Yeah, well, no, they come in the house. No, I did that last week.
Oh.
I took him for X-rays, and they did blood, and they did EKG.
I see, okay.
Yeah, because I think he just
I'm
has
like,
a...
wow, they can fit all that in that little van that
she
they bring?
Went on the treadmill for a stress test.
Yeah, you know, after all that, she's like, give him a Pepsi AC. He probably stayed something. I was like, well, that's about $1.43. Bobby in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, Steph, this is a great show, and thanks a lot, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, listen up. I have one thing. Can you please tell us what happened to Keith Olbermann if you get a chance?
I can't.
But the reason
really
I called was, last week John McCain made a couple of comments about Barack eating dogs, and with him being a prisoner of war in Vietnam and me an ex-Vietnam veteran, I think he better be careful about this eating dog thing, because some of those times when he had his meal every day and his little piece of meat in there, we were kind of wondering what that piece of meat could have been.
Yeah.
And it very well could have been dogs. So he probably better not be the one that's, talking about someone eating.
Yeah. Well, it's their whole thing every time somebody, says something on the radio, like, oh, well, somebody did this. All right, the president, Saturday night, correspondence dinner.
4 years ago, I was locked in a brutal primary battle with Hillary Clinton. 4 years later, she won't stop drunk texting me from Cartagena.
And then he also took a shot at the Republican congressional leadership, who he thanked for taking time from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws.
Yeah.
To That's attend great. The dinner. All right. Let's see. And then one more. The president.
I had a lot more material prepared, but I have to get the Secret Service home in time for their new curfew. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Good night. Nothing but net.
He was good.
Yeah, he was very funny. They're still sputtering over what's the show I'm thinking of now? The show he did list Slow Jams.
Fallon,
help
Jimmy
me.
Fallon.
Thank you. Somebody help Mama.
She's drowning over there.
I need to exit my bathwater. But they're still sputtering over that because it was so funny. By the way, he did the gangsta mic drop at the end of that, I heard. You can't touch that.
Nope.
All right. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What I really could go for right now, major distractions, like tequila shots and a weekend with Brad Pitt and Angelina.
Hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. 2:34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Holly in Utah, real quick. Hey, Holly, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Oh, congratulations on your show. I first caught you just after Don Imus got...
Yes, our brief audition.
I thought you were hilarious.
Thank you.
I was sorry to see you go. But
thank you.
This is I've got a couple of points. What is the difference between George Bush and his near smile when he's saying, I'm a war president, and then landing on the aircraft carrier, and it was a pre-election, long couple of years pre-election, and then they're whining and moaning about Obama using the fact that he killed bin Laden as a campaign issue.
Yeah, he's how dare he politicize that by pointing out that he, got him and Bush didn't. Just saying.
Bush started two unnecessary wars and just pay for them.
Right. Yeah. There's that. All right. And it's Monday, so it's time. Yeah.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How about our funny president?
He was pretty damn funny.
He's funny and handsome. Okay.
God.
I did love Kimmel getting in a big ears joke. That was that was funny.
Did he? Oh, do we have that? Yeah, hang on. Hang on. Here he is.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Here we go.
Mr. President, I know you won't be able to laugh at any of my jokes about the Secret Service, so cover your ears if that's physically possible.
Teehee. All right. So speaking of comedy, the Supreme Court, you have a great piece on, you say Antonin Scalia will make sure that Arizona stays insane. And this Solicitor General, not the, not making the greatest case, as you say.
No. I guess if I were a proper journalist, I would do some research on Donald Verrilli, the Solicitor General. But wow, between this and the healthcare law case, he's really just mucked it all up, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you put it, how you did the one exchange in there, and then you say you got that. A case that is specifically about racial profiling must not mention racial profiling. Instead, will be argued over whether or not the power to check immigration status belongs to the state or federal government. So, I mean, you know, like, as you say, it doesn't pass the smell test. Any person, any normal person knows this is going to lead to racial profiling.
Oh, yeah. I love the idea that, you know, that what was it? Scalia said something about, you know, well, you know, what kind of bank robbers is the government going to only, is the federal government going to arrest, professional bank robbers and the state will be left to, or something. I don't even understand what the argument was. But I also thought, will they pull that bank robber over for driving while Hispanic, you know, which bank robber gets pulled over first? And of course, you know, it worked so well with the shooter of Gabby Giffords. You know, he was pulled over, and that certainly solved that crime.
Yeah. No, I mean, the hard thing is your last line in here is it just the Supreme Court is so far gone it doesn't matter. I mean, it really, the conservative justices, or the SCOTUS as we call them, I mean, really have gotten so politicized and so partisan that to me it shows why this election is more important than ever, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. If one of the conservative justices, if Obama's reelected and one of the conservative justices steps down or retires or dies while eating something like an Italian sausage or something, then perhaps, I think that's the politest way I could have put that.
Was that a Clarence Thomas porn joke or no?
I can't tell. That would have been choking on a pubic hair on a coat.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So, no, but the fight that will go on in the Congress over whoever Obama nominates to take over a conservative's position will be just titanic. It will be every horrible, awful thing you've ever thought about the Congress coming out in full. If the sainted Scalia or Thomas, although we don't really know much about Clarence Thomas other than he sits there silently thinking, I guess, the whole time.
Drawing dirty doodles.
A porn. Yeah.
Drawing doodles and wondering if there's still donuts in the back.
One of my favorite posts of yours, of course, in brief, Mitt Romney is breathtakingly vile. You say, he said, I became successful by helping start a business that grew from 10 people to hundreds of people. And you say that was actually Bain Capital, which he founded with some other rich faces. Now, here you give us some fun facts, which these are some of the businesses. Georgetown Steel in South Carolina, which was gutted by Bain once it took over, with managers replaced by people who knew nothing of steel, quote unquote. With equipment upgrades avoided, union benefits cut, which was fine for making the quick buck Bain wanted to make so it would look better on paper and be sold. Not so good for making, you know, steel. And Georgetown, of course, driven into bankruptcy. Bain-run corporation bought a paper plant in Marion, Indiana. 1984, immediately fired everybody who worked there, forced them to reapply for jobs. That's clever. At lower wages and a 50% cut in health care benefits. When the workers strike, Bain closed it down and shipped the jobs to Mexico. Kansas City Steel Mill, they closed it after 100 years in business. 750 people losing their jobs. Pension fund shorted by $44 million. Or 1,700 workers laid off from Date International in Illinois. I mean,
these are all going to be in campaign ads.
How do you run on this? Seriously.
Oh, I mean, then AP did a study that said that Bain, for the businesses Bain took over, there was a loss of 4,000 jobs in the time that Mitt Romney was there. You know, I don't see how having been one of the investors in Staples, which is what he has to run on, I guess, that's the success of his business. And I love though that the success of his business is the success of Bain Capital. That Bain Capital grew from tens of employees to hundreds of employees. Yeah, they grew because they were taking jobs away from other people.
Yes, this is what, did you see Boehner yesterday on, where was he, on State of the Union on CNN? And he said, the American people don't want to vote for a loser. They want to vote for someone who hasn't been successful. But that's what you're saying. It makes a difference how you got successful, right?
I mean, he is a Marxist nightmare. You know, he is not just making money on the backs of workers. He is actually taking their livelihoods away from them and just casting them out. He's not even having people work for him. He is making money by actually making other people poor.
Well, exactly. I thought David Gibbs, I don't know if you saw him on Meet the Press, said it very well. He said Romney's not a job creator. When he was governor of Massachusetts, they were 47th out of 50 in job creation. His experiences in downsizing and outsourcing jobs and bankrupting companies and walking away with a lot of money for himself. He said,
yes, but isn't he handsome?
Look at his hair.
He's got great hair.
The other thing about this, though, and this is another point in that post, is the Obama campaign needs to watch out for one thing, and that is that obviously he is a vicious MF-er. He has no problem sending factory workers out into the cold. He has no problem shipping jobs to Mexico, and he will proudly stand there and say, this is my record. Look at how much money we made.
And he wanted to do it to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing.
No. He came up with the auto bailout.
Yeah, right. His spokesman just said, it was Mitt's idea. Yeah. The president is, he followed his idea. Right. What?
What?
Yeah. Just in that editorial that says the auto industry go bankrupt. Totally was about bailing out the auto industry.
Yes.
It was an ironic title.
Yeah, I mean, it
bailing them out without a parachute.
Yes,
throwing them out of the plane. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. But you're right. I mean, this is how he won the primary, by just eviscerating his opponents with you know, tons of money and nasty ads. You're right. He's not running on anything positive. He's running, you know, like you say, he's a vicious mother.
And even though he smiles and looks so friendly, I mean, I love reading about some of the strange things of his bursts of anger at people. I mean, this is somebody that's got some sublimated rage down there, and he takes it out since he can't drink, can't have caffeine, and probably can only have sex in the missionary position. I don't know about the sexual rules for Mormons. Does anybody know about the sexual rules?
I don't know.
That
you don't
want to
know about
movie.
The sexual rules for Mormons?
I don't think so.
I don't wear any underpants, so I have no experience.
Really? I'd have always thought your underpants were magic.
No, she goes commando all the time.
Yeah. Listen, rude. No, I mean, I was thinking he was getting ready to snap in the primary because the coronation was taking so long. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You just thought at one point he was going to scream, this is Rick Santorum. Are you what?
How much money does a brother have to spend?
Yeah.
Just to drive Newt Gingrich back into the wilderness.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Boehner, did you see him? I love this. He's a helper. He's just trying to help the president. Yeah.
The president's getting some very bad advice from his campaign team. Because he's diminishing the presidency.
Oh, come on.
By picking fake fights, going after straw men every day. The president's getting some bad advice.
The do-nothing Congress?
Somebody needs to help him out, so I thought I would.
Wait,
you're a
how
douche.
How did he help him out? Do you give him tanning tips? I mean, what did he... Now, before you go back to Hawaii, you want to lay down a nice base layer.
Yeah, I love the National Journal headline. Boehner attacks Obama and denies it. House Speaker John Boehner said he tries to avoid personal attacks on President Obama and then proceeded to attack the president, saying on CNN that he's diminishing the presidency, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it just is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, because he's not picking the fights, it's the Republican Congress, right?
Well, yeah. And there was that great, was it editorial in the Washington Post last week, or on Friday, that said, okay, you know what, let's just face it, it's the Republicans.
Yeah.
And it was written by Norman Ornstein and somebody from Brookings. And it just finally laid it out there saying, look, you know, we can, at some point, the media has to stop playing this. It's both their faults, a pox on both their houses game.
Yeah.
Right. And just say, this is about Republicans, and that Republicans have become so intransigent and so caught up in trying to take power away from the president that they need to bear the bulk of the blame.
And I'm sorry, Rude, they're in such disarray. I mean, this story boils it down. Boner listed the ways Obama's diminishing the presidency. Republicans, though, still smarting from the abrupt about-face they made last week when Mitt Romney said student loan interest rates should be fixed. Republicans have not shown any interest in passing that legislation until Romney made the comment.
Yeah.
And so then they had to,
we're for that.
Are there any women's programs we can take money away from?
Yes, exactly. And then that's what they do. I mean,
because we've already lost women, we may as well just completely screw them over.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, it's delightful to watch. Rude, you are a delight as well.
As are you.
Rude.
Aww. I feel the love.
RudePundit.blogspot.com. And
buy the Rude Pundit's Almanac, the new edition.
Please.
New edition will be out at the end of May.
Hooray!
Please and thank you. All right, honey, see you next week.
Bye.
There he goes, the Rude Pundit, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And this is your afternoon, too, now.
Right. Oh, that's where I'll look at you, Mr. Tease.
Hey!
Oh, we have a big announcement. 51 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do we need some trumpets for that?
Sure, why not? All right. Well, now it's going to be a letdown, no matter what it is.
I know.
No. we're apparently doing so well on Current. I think the ratings have tripled since we started.
That's right.
They are re-airing an hour of our show every afternoon.
Yeah,
cool. At 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
So it's evenings on the East Coast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, we're inching into prime time.
So they'll pick the least crappy hour.
Right.
Well,
they will pick.
That's
all
the
relative.
Idea. Yes.
It's all relative, but yes, they will pick the least crappy hour
right.
of our 3 hours in the morning and then re-air that. So
cool.
If you miss it in the morning, you can watch in the afternoon. Of the evening.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
In the morning, in the evening.
Hey, we got fun.
My mom's like, oh dear, this is going to cut into my bridge now. Let me write this down.
Her mahjong.
Now, 52 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Solar World. I've been making solar panels right here in the U.S. of A. since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Steph. You know, I was shocked, I mean shocked, to find that the Hypocritical Party, a.k.a. the Republicans, would go up against Barack Obama during a, quote, in-zone dance against killing Osama bin Laden. And this is amazing that this party, have the cojones to get on air and complain about something like that when they had a big red, white, and blue banner saying mission accomplished 8 years before, you know, the mission was accomplished. And, hey, if you all ever get a chance, Google the old Ted Kennedy commercials about Bain Capital using actual Indiana people that was laid off. It is one of the best political ads I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, no, exactly. We may be saying, thank you, Uncle Ted. Again, I've heard about those ads. By the way, so Romney advisor Ed Gillespie, did you see him on Meet the Press?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, this Bin Laden stuff is really, it's amazing. He responded to remarks Joe Biden made saying Romney may not have acted to kill Bin Laden or save General Motors, which is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romney was on record saying, oh, well, I don't think it was worth moving heaven and earth to get Bin Laden. And he wrote an editorial, Let Detroit Die.
Yeah.
So it's not like... Anyway, so he...
How dare you point it out?
He called... He played a clip of Biden's speech, and he said, this is one of the reasons President Obama has become one of the most divisive presidents in American history.
Huh?
Oh, I see. By pointing out facts about... Yeah. Gillespie went on to say call the attack a bridge too far and argued that Romney... Or any president would have done the same thing Obama did when dealing with bin Laden.
Except George Bush,
who shut down the bin Laden unit.
I don't think about him. I'm going to start a war against someone who didn't do nothing.
What Carl just said from Nashville, what mission was accomplished, by the way? They should have, put a sub-headline there. Mission accomplished of starting an unnecessary war.
Yes, helping
that will cost trillions of dollars and not be paid for.
Helping out the defense industry, because they had all this ordnance that we needed to use on somebody.
And cost thousands of lives.
David Gibbs said, I don't think it's clear he would have acted the same way. Mitt Romney. He criticized Barack Obama a few years ago when Barack Obama said if we had actionable intelligence about a high value target. And that's true. I mean, it's like that's fair game to say. How can you say we... Whatever. Okay. All right.
I wouldn't have done it. By which I mean I would have done it.
Okay. Carol in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Stephanie. You're pure genius. You're saying everything I want to tell the world.
Yes.
But my main concern is, why is it such a bad thing to be a liberal? Who started demonizing liberals? Without us, what would happen to the people, the population? There would be no health care, nothing. Yep. I don't have to say it because you're saying it all for me.
Carol, that's why we call the Sexy Liberal Show the Sexy Liberal Show, because we're taking that word back, right? We're making it a dirty word in a good way.
Right.
Right.
But what's wrong with the people? Why can't they hear us?
Yeah, Jim, find that John F. Kennedy quote again that we always do. What it means to be a liberal.
And we got out more careful than we got
no,
in.
No, not that one. It's that quote I always screw up about President Obama said about Iraq.
Yes.
We need to get out as carefully as we got in carelessly. I mean.
That
anyway.
One.
All right. Robert Gibbs also yesterday said his economic ideas, Romney's, are failed economic ideas. We tried for 8 years. He said the Romney's biggest criticism of Obama's economic policies boiled down to you didn't clean up our mess fast enough. Yes. All right, Teresa in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Therese.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show.
I love you.
Listen, what the woman just said on your show just now is what I was actually going to say, except I would love to see the movie of the night where everybody celebrated and became united the first time in history. Osama brought unity, not division. You know, they're running around all over saying he's a divisor by talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. You know, I am so amazed how Romney could just stand in front of a camera and try to tear down a president who's bringing this economy back to what they destroyed. And then he doesn't even have a blueprint. His blueprint is to bash Obama. That's the only thing he does.
Well, what we've been saying is so far he has run a relentlessly negative campaign against his other opponents and now against the president.
He won't even answer a question without throwing Obama's name in it.
Yep.
That's his question. Well, Obama did this. What kills me is that they don't say, well, Romney, I asked you this question. How come you're telling me what Obama did? Tell me what you're going to do. He has no answers.
Well, he does have an answer.
I'm going to fire anybody.
He does have an answer. The answer is he was 47th out of 50 in job creation in Massachusetts, and he outsourced a bunch of jobs at Bain.
Yeah.
That's his answer. That's why he doesn't want to give it. That's why he has to make it about that.
I have the Kennedy quote.
Oh, all right.
Oh, we're out of time.
Yes, by the time we'll do it after the break.
Stay tuned for that. How's that for a tease?
Okay. And Eric Bollert from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Stephanie Miller Show. Word of the day, squee!
Squee!
Okay.
I just found out why that is.
Why?
Well, Chris was explaining it.
Yeah, it's something that's going around the internet. Whenever you see, you know, somebody's cute, you say, squee.
Coming up next hour, Van Jones. Squee. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Toll-free from anywhere.
Speaking I don't understand the world anymore.
Speaking of squee, Deb is really excited. Our big announcement, Charity has her TiVo set.
What?
Deb in California. Hi, Deb.
Squee. Hey, you. You are just so fine.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, you're so fine that my husband doesn't even want to leave for work in the morning.
Oh.
He used to leave at 6,
no
problems.
Oh,
but then
no.
He hears Katrina and the waves, and then all of a sudden, my doggie's barking because she knows that we're on the phone with you.
Who is that? Who's your dog?
That spicy girl.
Spicy girl!
But my mom named her. My mom named her.
This is spicy girl. Okay. All right.
Sounds like
so
a cartoon
I have two other
dog.
Points, if I may.
All right. So after your husband wakes up with me, he can't get out of bed. Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you, I'm getting an interiority complex. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me keeping him here.
What's his name?
John.
Hi, John. Hi, John.
Oh, you're evil. You're evil. He loves it. May I say one more thing?
Who wants to stay in bed with me and Spicy Girl? Okay.
Spicy actually agrees with me on this one, that the reason why Republicans have to cut off all forms of funding for education of any kind at all, including honest information from your doctor, is in order to, or for women anyway, is in order to ensure that people are disinformed enough to vote Republican.
Right.
Hey.
Exactly.
All right, Deb, you have your TiVo set. Today's our first day of replay. They're going to replay our least crappy hour at 3 p.m.
The
Pacific.
The moment you mentioned it,
all right.
I went on the guide, went ahead, pressed a little red dot. We're in. We're on.
There you go. Thank you. All right. Ding, ding, ding. Thank you. 6 p.m. Eastern. They're replaying our least crappy hour.
Yep.
Which is kind of subjective. I don't know. All right. By the way, we found the quote. Go ahead. John
this
F. Kennedy.
Is, John F. Kennedy, September 1960, after the acceptance of the New York Liberal Party nomination.
If by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties. Someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. If that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say I am a liberal.
Yay! All right, which is why we called it Sexy Liberal Show. Hello, Minneapolis, almost sold out. Hurry, 12 VIP tickets left for what a Mother's Day gift.
Whoa.
It's May 12th, Mother's Day weekend, with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang and I. And in L.A., that's not until July 28th. We're nearly 70% sold out at the Pantages already.
L.A., up in the club.
VIP tickets already sold out. There's some other good seats available, so hurry, go, get it fast. Because you know L.A., everybody waits to the last minute and then asks for comps. So, no.
Computer says
no.
I'm telling
no comps.
You no right now. Okay. All right. Our friend Eric Bollard is here. Let's go right to Eric Bollard. We have Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You know all I need for a fabulous weekend is a nice glass of Chardonnay and some Eric Bollard tweets.
Right.
One of yours was friendly tip for GOP. Insistent whining about Jimmy Fallon's show and Bin Laden being dead aren't going to win you any votes.
Yeah.
You're a helper. You're a helper,
well,
Eric.
I do my best. I do my best. But, I mean, everything is so predictable now with the right-wing media. So Obama shows up on Jimmy Fallon and he does this great clip on slow jamming the news. And you could just, like, set your timer to how many minutes it would take.
Yeah.
Outrage.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't stand. And it's, you know, he's disgracing the office and all this stuff. And, of course, you know, when George Bush appeared on the Jumbotron during Deal or No Deal,
right.
When he was president, none of these people were particularly concerned. But that led into this whole debate on how, you know, Karl Rove, you know, put out this ad how Obama is too cool, you know.
Right.
And particularly targeting young voters, because apparently young voters don't like people who are cool. As I tweeted over the weekend, what's next from Karl Rove, an ad about how, you know, Obama is too good looking or too charming or too fit. I mean, doesn't make any sense, this road they're going down. But they're beside themselves, and when they see him succeed, even in what's doing late night comedy, they just sort of freak out.
Right. As you also tweeted, this is how GOP courts the youth vote, by attacking Jimmy Fallon's show and opposing reduction of college loan rates.
Yeah.
And, you know, meanwhile, as I was saying, that picture of Romney talking to a college kid looks like a hostage crisis. They're all just like, oh, God, I mean. And then you say, oh, look, for a second week in a row, gas prices fall. Sorry, Fox News, your dream of $4 a gallon gas seems to be dashed.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had banners that were going to drop when the national average hit $4. They were so excited all winter long, you know, $4 gas is going to ruin the economy. It's going to ruin Obama's reelection. Meanwhile, polls were showing, you know, it was having almost no effect on people's spending. And more importantly, the majority of Americans didn't blame Obama for gas prices. They realized these things go up and down. They've been buying gas for decades in this country, and they realized, you know, the president doesn't set the price at the pump.
Right.
But they had been so excited, and this was, you know, finally something was going to, you know, this was going to be the hurdle that was going to cause Obama to stumble. But, and it was supposed to peak in May, because last year it peaked in May. But if you look at the statistics, it's going down. And this is just another example of how, you know, Fox News roots against the U.S. economy, and they root against obviously against Obama. And they're actually sort of waiting for people to pay more money for gas, just like they want to have more people unemployed. It's really unseemly.
It's a tough position to be rooting against America, isn't it?
It's not fun, especially for a patriotic, you know, supposedly patriotic political movement.
Yeah, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Cal Thomas on the Fox News Watch.
Yeah, there's a big difference, though. I think, you know, Clinton was running for president. Barack Obama is president. And I agree with Dana Perino and some of the former White House press secretary, who's a commentator on this network and a co-host of The Five. Can we plug that? There's a certain decorum about the presidency, I think. And when you take it on and lower it to that level, I think it does damage to the image of the office.
Mm.
You mean like when George Bush was scurrying around looking for the weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah. Right.
They're not under here.
Or as you just said, Eric, he was on Deal or No Deal when he was president.
Game show.
Yeah, a game show.
Look, you know, presidents are supposed to be able to be self-deprecating and make jokes, and if they don't, they're too serious, and, you know,
Jimmy Carter.
Critics attack them.
Right.
And then so when they are willing to do comedy and are self-deprecating, they yell at him and attack him. Look, should presidents be on late-night talk shows? Who knows? I prefer, you know, in the scheme of things, probably not. But this has been happening for 20 years since Arsenio
Nixon,
Hall.
Eric, Nixon went on.
They're all doing it.
Nixon went on laughing and got a pie in the face.
Much more dignified. Yeah. By the way, Eric, this is why you and I are never invited on Fox News, because we would have said, well, Dana, George Bush was on Deal or No Deal. Your thoughts? All right, Tucker Carlson in for Hannity.
The White House is always saying, you know, don't attack the president's family, and I think most people sort of pull back and don't actually want to engage with the president's family.
Sure.
But, you know, if they're spending $500,000 of taxpayer money to go on vacation with no real point in the middle of a recession like this, that's
well, I'll agree with Tone Deaf.
Mm. Yes, because for the first time ever, this is the first time a presidential family's ever gone
on
vacation.
Oh.
Yeah.
They've never left the White House. They've never gone overseas. You know, this is now 3 years into this ridiculous, you know, charge about they're spending too much money on vacation. They're so spoiled, et cetera, et cetera.
Bush was on vacation for his whole presidency.
Yeah.
967 days Bush was on vacation, I believe the official tally was. And by the way, the Secret Service protects the first family every day, no matter where they are. It's not like if they're not on vacation, the Secret Service just stays home.
Yeah.
There is cost to protecting the first family. And if you take a couple steps back, the really creepy thing, and this is the sort of underlying criticism, is Secret Service spends way too much time and money protecting the Obamas.
Yeah.
And that really is the allegation. That is the charge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sean
Hannity.
Creepy.
Sean Hannity and a caller on the radio.
I don't call people names.
Okay, yes, you do. Sometimes you do. You're not as nasty as a lot of them, but you say crybaby.
He is a crybaby. That's not a name. That's just an adjective.
Sean.
Hello?
This is the president of the United States.
I know, but he's acting like a crybaby sometimes. Wait a minute. If he's going to be a crybaby and blame, I'm going to call him out on it. I'm just telling the truth. My job is to tell the truth.
I'm not calling that idiot names.
I would never do it to that moron.
It's not a name, it's an adjective.
That lazy crybaby.
Right, and calling the president a Marxist and a socialist and a crybaby. And oh, what did he say last week? He told the president to man up.
Yes.
You know, he got all macho. The president. This is Sean Hannity, who once claimed he was going to be waterboarded to show it was no big deal. And I think the clock is now
And he went down on that.
3 or 5 years running on that.
Listen, I have to defend him on that. That's a lot of moose in that hair. You don't want to mess with that. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
I got a new car, Gum. I'm getting a new car after the program. 8 miles to the gallon. I can't wait to get in the thing and find a Prius and give him an anal exam with my front bumper.
Wow. That's everything that's wrong with America right there.
Right in one right little there. Sentence.
So many worthy people don't have a job, and that guy is making millions of dollars doing that.
Does that define creepy or what? I mean, I don't, you know, I don't think a week goes by where Rush Limbaugh doesn't talk about anal. I'm not kidding. I mean, if you are more listening to it like we are at Media Matters, it comes up every week.
What was he doing in the Dominican Republic? I wonder.
Maybe he just said he had an anal cyst during Vietnam to get more attention in that area.
And it's always in this weird political context. It's totally bizarre.
Wow. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I wish Freud were alive today.
That reminds me of Jimmy Kimmel's joke that the difference between Bill Maher and Rush Limbaugh is the people watching Bill Maher know he's a pole. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Cat class and Stephanie Miller. Got cat
style. Yeah, all across my face. That's right. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number is toll free from anywhere. Why, looky here, Jim. This just in from George Slaughter, our friend, the producer of Laugh-In, creator of Laugh-In.
Yep.
On presidential comedy, Nixon appeared on Laugh-In in 1969 and said, "Sock it to me," and they say it elected him.
That's right.
Huh. Uh-huh. But now it's totally unprecedented.
Sock it to me?
Unpresidential for a president to do a comedy show.
By the way, there was a great parody of Laugh-In on last week's live 30 Rock.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Eric Bollert in the sidecar as we continue Right Wing World. Allison Camerota on Fox and Friends. Mm-hmm.
The presidential election is shaping up to be a battle between a vision of freedom, some would say, and a vision of entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's going to be a clear choice come November, isn't it?
Huh. What? What the hell?
Freedom versus entitlement? Mm. You mean freedom
an Obama
from a safety net?
Obama, to vote for Obama is an anti-freedom vote, Eric.
Oh, apparently.
God.
We were all laughing at the some say, and I guarantee you the some say refers to someone who said it on Fox 40 minutes earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Or someone who wrote it on the op-ed page of the Post.
Or the Washington Times.
And this, I think this clip was from, you know, quote, straight, you know, news story. Yeah, you know, a news segment on Fox News. So on the, Media Matters has documented this endlessly. So on the news segments, they refer to some people are saying something awful about Obama, and the something refers to the opinion shows on Fox News. It's a very closed and loud loop they run over there.
Yep, exactly. All right. Michelle Malkin on the Fox News.
I judge him by his record because it is not just the Republican base that has come to realize that Barack Obama is far from a nice man. People who have nothing to do with partisan politics, who've seen the viciousness and the brutality of this administration in crushing both its political opponents and otherwise.
It's like black people do.
He's like Pol Pot, practically.
Yeah, Pol Pot was brutal.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think that was the same show where she refused to say anything nice about him, right?
It is.
I think Neil Cavuto asked her, well, can't you say something nice about the president as a man? And she absolutely refused.
Easy.
Because he's, you know, if he weren't so brutally crushing dissent in this country, maybe she could find something nice to say.
And
he was brutal to Osama bin Laden. I will give her that.
Yes, that's true. Eric, I was once pressed on that during the Bush years, and I was able to say he was very, very good for the effigy business. So I did my part. Yes, Bush was very good. Somebody's family makes, they made effigies of George W. Bush that needed to be burned.
But it's a good example of, we talk about Obama derangement syndrome, and yes, people hated Bush, and yes, he thought he launched an awful war, et cetera, et cetera. But this is Malkin just proves that they take it so personally, they internalize everything, that there's nothing she can say about President Obama as a man that would be nice, because she thinks she can't think of anything. Yeah. As a human being, there's nothing he does. It's amazing.
Not even that he's a good father.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't even.
No.
Right.
And
nothing,
she probably accuses him of being an anchor
like
baby.
That.
Yeah. Good singer? Come on, Michelle. Give it up. He's a good singer. All right. Eric Bollard, see you next week, honey. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
There he goes. You know why they have to do this?
Why?
Because their candidate's a douche. Mitt Romney. Mitch, etchy sketchy, as we call it.
They were afraid to come out and support him. They were ashamed of their new candidate. They were reluctant to vote for a Mormon, the one they just had to nominate.
5, 6, 7, 8, who's the one they love to hate?
It was that etchy, sketchy, wishy-washy, flippy-floppy, Minton's Romney, the one they all love to hate. That almost witty, aspy, ditty, richy, richy's Minton's Romney, Mitt-Mitt-Tum is not all that great.
Yay, Michael
Raleigh!
Hitting it out of the park!
Von Seal, our good friend in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Von Seal.
Good morning, everyone.
Who is wearing an Itsy Bitsy Polka Dot bikini as we speak.
Yes.
And later on, because Stephanie, you and the Mooks and Rebecca have once again inspired me to make an action that I wouldn't normally take.
Uh-oh.
And that is, I'm having a Meet the Candidate party at my house today.
Wow.
For a local progressive.
Wow.
And I'm an elderly shut-in, much like yourself.
Yes, and owner of the snotty elitist French restaurant of the Stephanie Miller Show, Bouchon.
And I have very, very disturbing news also.
Okay.
Speaking of snobby and elite, the dollar horse that I rescued.
Yes.
My riding instructor, and I have one only because it has been years since I sat on a horse and I did not want to kill myself or him.
Yes.
Came over with beginning dressage.
Oh no.
Now you're really an elitist.
It was like he was holding a coiled snake. But today I hope is very successful, and thanks again for your inspiration.
Aww.
To all of us, especially all of us here in rural North Carolina.
Well, I'm happy as a dancing horse. Thank you, Von Seal.
I'm a
little dancing horse. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
That's not what I hear.
That's an old drop. Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes. That was from my radio show in the 80s.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mel in Los Angeles. Hey, Mel, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
First time caller,
yes.
Long time listener.
Yes.
Yes. I just wanted to point out that it seems like the media is not mentioning anything about Great Britain being in a double dip recession, using like their Paul Ryan plan.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, their austerity plan. That's right.
Yes. It's mind boggling to me how over there, but yet Fox wanted to point out that Spain is on the precipice of going over, because they're socialists.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Brenda in California.
Shock doctrine.
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah. Naomi Klein. Hello, Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Brenda going once.
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
Is.
Hello. Okay. Clear. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I want to talk about the economy. For the past 3 years, the Republican Congress has stalled and just block everything that the president has put forth as far as health care and for jobs. Now, during the election year, they are yelling about, oh, look at the economy, look at the economy, it's lousy. Don't they know or understand that the American people have seen through the past 3 years what they have done? I don't understand where are they coming from with this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The boner, I just love this. Boner attacks Obama, then denies it.
Yeah.
In the same sentence. He listed the ways Obama is diminishing the presidency. He said the Buffett rule. Oh, I see. That most Americans, the vast majority of Americans,
right,
are for, the rich paying their fair share. Manipulation in the oil markets without one shred of evidence. Then they picked this student loan fight where there is no fight. He didn't pick a fight. I mean, he wants the loan rates, you know, to not double. And Mitt Romney supports it, and then they have to turn around.
Right.
And backtrack.
And that was the president picking a fight? Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, Candy Crowley also asked Boner, how many days does Boner wonder whether he really wanted this job? And he said a lot.
I don't think she said Boner. I think she called him Boehner.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he probably wishes he could be full-time at the tavern.
I don't want to spend more time at the tavern.
Did you see Jimmy Kimmel's joke on the feud between Boner and Cantor? He said they couldn't agree on the wording of a ransom note.
Yeah.
More with Jimmy Kimmel from the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
Thank you.
Yes.
See? All right. Let's go to Maria in Chicago. Hi, Maria. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a point about how the Republicans always say, you know, we need to give tax cuts to the job creators so they'll create jobs. When we had the collapse of the financial collapse in 2008, didn't the job create or some of the job creators get like $790 billion?
Yeah, yeah, and the Lehman, you're talking about Lehman Brothers, right?
Right, mm-hmm. And then ultimately Wall Street as a whole, didn't they get so like $16 trillion they defrauded allegedly? Out of the country?
Yeah, yeah.
So how many jobs were created, like, the months after that, the 6 months after that? Let's just take 6 months. Oh, wait, weren't we losing jobs?
Yep.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Good points. Let's go to Elizabeth in Chicago. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
Congratulations on your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually just calling to say how hilarious our president was at the Correspondents' Dinner.
Yep.
And to point out that Lindsay Lohan was a guest of Greta Von Stroessen.
Yeah.
Miss
at the
Foxy
same table
Foxy.
At the same table as Kim Kardashian. They're helping to drag down the IQ of that table tremendously.
Uh-huh. Scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Sandy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Sandy. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hi,
hi,
everybody.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to be your Keystone Connection from Pennsylvania.
All right, then. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I live in the state of Governor Just Close Your Eyes corporate, and now he's having my 85-year-old mother, who's voted in every election since 48, get her photo ID. She does not have a raised seal birth certificate, so now I have to drive her to Harrisburg, get her birth certificate. There's a 13-week waiting period for her to vote.
Mm. Huh, it's almost like they're trying to make it harder.
Yeah, and here's the snag in Pennsylvania. I live near the Amish country. Mm-hmm. Their religion forbids photo IDs, and they mostly vote Republican.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's some, it's suddenly like, it, you know, they found that out, that most people they're trying to get IDs are, we're going to vote Republican. Suddenly they'd be like, what?
Crazy.
Yeah. Wayne in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just want to say I'm a first-time caller, and I enjoy your show. I really do.
Thank you.
And it's good and refreshing to have a liberal show like yours on television where
we
can actually get the truth out.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
My comment real quick is that in regard to Fox News and Michelle Malkin, all I can say about them is that they're from another planet. And you know, the Fox, don't be surprised whatever they say because they're desperate people. It's just because we got one of in my opinion, the thirdest cool president we've ever had. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, disabled, so, you know, my opinion about the Republicans, we don't have that much time. But keep up the good work.
Thank you, honey.
and keep exposing these Republicans for what they are.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw one, I can't remember who, Democrat on TV, on the Karl Rove ad going, thanks, that's a great ad.
It is, yeah.
We should just, yes.
The president
is really
cool.
Yes, he is really cool.
The president thinks he's cool, and everyone else does too.
Right, and then just change the end and put all his accomplishments.
Yeah. I think that might have been Paul Begala on Real Time this weekend.
I missed that. Oh. All right. Oh, okay. Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, I'm watching the news last week, and, of course, Boehner's on the floor of the House just blasting the president, you know. But I have to ask Jim, what does he think of Boehner's impression of Sylvester the Cat? I mean, it was spot on the entire time, and when he got to the word pathetic, I mean, I was on the ground. I mean, what could be better than listening to Boehner or Tom Brokaw try to pronounce the name of Sofia Vergara?
Vergara? Oh, ridiculous.
That's despicable. That's too many syllables.
That's Daffy Duck who said this.
Oh, sorry.
You're despicable.
Thank you. All right. Wendy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm downstate Illinois, so I'm in Republican. It's so refreshing to have your show. That was point one.
Thank you.
And I've got five quick ones. I wanted to get back. I've been wanting for some time somehow to get the message out that go back to the point someone mentioned about what made liberal such a bad word.
Right.
And I think it goes back to Gingrich when he was in. I'm not positive. I think What's Wrong with Kansas, I think Thomas Frank or something wrote that book, and I think it kind of goes into some of that. But conservative, according to, I looked in the dictionary and thesaurus, we're talking narrow focus, unchanging, reactionary, diehard, preserving status quo, and oppose change. And liberal is tolerant, open-minded, not narrow in opinion or judgment. And I think
Wendy,
we need
that's
to drop,
what,
I mean,
right.
we as all of us liberals need to drop an education or a dictionary bomb, because I think
right.
so many people.
Wendy, that's exactly why we called it the Sexy Liberal Show. It started as a joke, but it literally, that's what we're referring
really?
To the audience, not us. We're going, it's sexy to be liberal. It means
but
you're open-minded,
not,
you're empathetic. That's exactly it.
Yeah, they're not stupid. They just, a lot of people are ignorant, and you hear things enough, you know, you believe it. And so they've destroyed that word, and we need to take it back.
Wow.
Another thing, they go on about the religion thing, Mormon and all this. Nobody ever mentions that Nixon was a Quaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand
right.
why they don't ever bring that up. Probably because they're not too hot with the Watergate
yep.
thing.
Wendy, I remember once.
Thing,
I remember once.
Big oatmeal.
Yeah, I remember what's going on. You remember when I went on Sean Hannity's
mm-hmm.
show and he's like, "Are you a liberal?" And I was like, "Yes,
yes."
And I couldn't be prouder. He didn't know what to do. He was like, "You're supposed to cringe in terror. You're supposed to flinch when I say that." Let's go to Linda in Virginia. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
You all have a great show, and I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask a question. I wonder how the Republicans in the House and the Senate can do their job, which part of their job is to appropriate funds. But they have signed a pledge with Grover Norquist saying that they will never raise taxes.
Yeah.
So how can they do their job when they have already pledged themselves to someone else rather than to the Constitution of the United States?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the interview last week, Linda, with Ron Reagan. I asked him what his dad would have done with Grover Norquist's pledge. And
right.
I think my version is he would have wiped his ass with it, and I don't think Ron said that. But it was essentially the same thing, what he would have said to Grover Norquist.
Oh, boy.
Who are you? Why are you in my office? And get out. All right. The president has a new, we have a new campaign slogan, Forward.
Okay.
There's a new video. Forward.
All right. Fine.
It's true. Republicans, regressives. They put it in reverse. Put it in R. Till back to the 50s or whatever. The president, who is handsome and romantic and a good singer, said the choice between going backward or moving forward has never been so clear. He told several hundred women at the national issue. Chicks dig him. I'm just telling you.
I've heard.
Can you get him singing ready? Thank you. As long as I'm president, we're going to keep moving forward. You can count on that. You don't have to take my word for it. You've got my signature on it, he said, referring to the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which was one of the first bills he signed. He said, because something like standing up for the principle of equal pay for equal work isn't something I've got to get back to you on, which is what Romney said. It's the first law I signed. We've got governors and legislatures across the river in Virginia, up the road in Pennsylvania, all across the country saying that women can't be trusted to make your own decisions. They're pushing and passing bills, forcing women to get ultrasounds, even if they don't want one. If you don't like it, the governor of Pennsylvania said you can close your eyes. It's appalling. It's offensive. It's out of touch. He said the fight over contraception was illuminating for his understanding of Republicans' views on women. It was like being in a time machine back to the 50s or even earlier, he said.
More like, you know, the 20s.
Yeah. He said so far, and the new Quinnipiac poll shows him 10 points ahead of Romney among women. Romney's campaign said Obama used his speech to, quote, offer the same empty rhetoric and broken promises to women.
Whatever.
No, he made a point of saying yes, exactly. He said women are not an interest group. Women shouldn't be treated this way, he told the cheering crowd. And yeah.
So in love with
you. Squee!
Squee!
46 minutes
Romney
after the hour.
Romney didn't get a squee.
No.
Yeah. Meh. 46 minutes.
Yeah, he got a meh.
Meh. 46 minutes after
Mitt
the
Rum.
Hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Baby monkey. Baby monkey.
Okay. Everybody okay? Settle.
Well, they do the woo-hoo and baby monkey.
We are tired. We are really just...
Yeah.
Here's what we do during the commercial breaks. We talk to our TV cameras. Camera 3, you're back. We missed you. Thanks for coming.
It turned its back to us.
It really did. We were like, Camera 3, why so distant?
That's the ass cam. That's the most valuable cam.
Something we said? Okay, you're back. Good. So turn your back to me. Okay, 1-800-2, the phone number, toll free.
Can we get you something?
Yeah, something? A sedative maybe?
Okay, Anthony in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, you know how people always say that Mitt Romney's been running for president for 7 years?
Yep.
Actually, he's been running for president for 11 years. When he became governor of Massachusetts, he ran for one term. Who runs to be governor for one term? No
right.
one.
Right.
Unless he's very calculated, and his whole purpose was to get executive experience and tell people, I got executive experience. Because if he really wanted to run for governor, he should run. And be governor, he should be governor of Detroit. What's the state?
Right.
Right.
No, I know it. Go ahead.
The reason why he didn't, because that state has plenty of problems. Michigan has plenty of problems, and he was not going to be governor of Michigan because he knew he could not have done that for one term.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to James in Cincinnati. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Yes,
hi,
ma'am.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I got to say it. I mean, really, this is a I used to watch Fox.
No.
Yes, ma'am. As an alternative to NBC, CBS, because I found that they are becoming more polarized toward Republicans, but less, you know, less Fox. And then I watched Fox as an enemy. You know, in other words, those are the people who are trying to destroy me and my people, and the United States, in fact. But anyway, what I want to get at is this, is that how many times in history has a Republican gotten into office and ruined things for us, and then when they elect a Democrat, how things change and we get better? And then we elect a Republican, and then things go bad.
And then we go backwards. Exactly. We're going to need to go forward. We're moving forward. Okay.
Yeah. They might need to punch that up a little bit, I think.
Andrew and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yo, hey, official guy from Wisconsin here. Forward happens to be the Wisconsin state motto.
Oh.
So,
perfect for the
accident.
Perfect for the 99% movement and for this year's election.
You betcha.
Yeah, you betcha. They have angered the honey badger in Wisconsin. Let me tell you what. All right. Hey, Pope Benedict, welcome to the War on Women. Come on down. As an ex-Catholic girl gone wild, I need to defend my nuns, Jim. Could you please take your organ out for me, Chris? Did you see? Oh, look, I brought an actual New York Times in today because I didn't have time to order you around to send it to me on the computer.
You ordered me to your house on Friday.
Oh, that was for tech support. I tried to make it seem like it was show-related, Jim.
Mm.
And I made him do a bunch of stuff on my computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're tricky that way.
See what I did there? I got you to show up and be the entertainment for free for my party Friday night.
Yeah.
Jim brought amps and electric guitars and harmonicas and I...
Whatever.
You totally Tom Sawyered both of us this weekend.
Right? Want to come over and to my house because we're friends? Oh, look what's wrong with my computer. Yeah, because I have a bunch of friends that play guitar, but no, everybody's a sucky singer, so I always trick Jim into coming because he's a good singer. And he plays harmonica. Okay. I don't know if you've heard about this. Maureen Dowd and Nicholas Kristof wrote about this. It really is incredible. Maureen Dowd writes, even as Republicans try to wrestle women back into chastity belts, the Vatican is trying to muzzle American nuns. Who thinks it's cool to bully nuns? While continuing to heal and educate, the community of sisters is aging and dying out because few younger women are willing to make such sacrifices for a church determined to bring women to heal. So Pope Benedict basically, let me read, we are all nuns. I love this piece. Nick Kristof. He said, they are among the bravest, toughest, most admirable people in the world. In my travels, I've seen heroic nuns defy warlords, pimps, and bandits. Even as bishops have disgraced the church by covering up the rape of children, nuns have redeemed it with their humble work on behalf of the neediest. So Pope Benedict, all I can say, you're crazy to mess with nuns. The Vatican issued a stinging reprimand of American nuns this month.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard about this till this weekend. And ordered a bishop to oversee a makeover of the organization that represents 80% of them. In effect, the Vatican accused the nuns of worrying too much about the poor and not enough about abortion and gay marriage.
Wow.
What Bible did that come from? Jesus in the Gospels repeatedly talks about poverty and social justice, yet never explicitly mentions either abortion or homosexuality. The ecclesiastical MOOC has told us this how many times?
Yes, I think this is nonsense.
Was awful.
Sorry.
If you look at who has more closely emulated Jesus' life, Pope Benedict or your average nun, it's the nun, hands down. Since the papal crackdown on nuns, they have received received an outpouring of support. Nick Kristof writes, I have a soft spot for nuns because I've seen firsthand. Listen to this story. The sacrifice, how they sacrifice ego, safety, and comfort to serve some of the neediest people on earth. Remember the Kony 2012 video? All the kids were watching. About the African warlord, one of the few heroes was a nun, sister, I can't pronounce her name. Rachel Fisera. In 1996, Kony's army attacked a Ugandan girls' school, kidnapped 139 students. Sister Rachel hiked through the jungle in pursuit of the kidnappers, some of the most menacing men imaginable, notorious for raping and torturing their victims to death. Eventually, she caught up with the 200 gunmen and demanded they release the girls. Somehow, she browbeat the warlord in charge into releasing a great majority of the girls.
Oh, my God.
And
she probably hit him with a ruler on the knuckles.
Listen, my nuns had the Board of Education, which that's all she needed.
She used nunchucks.
Hey! What's with you and the nun jokes this morning?
Sorry.
Seriously.
Nun
really?
Puns. Nun
really?
Puns.
Really? You two? Etu? Really? All right. Yeah, go nuns. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. All right.
You must stop with all this compassion crap. What is wrong with you?
58 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Van Jones.
Squee!
All right. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh boy, I thought I had a fun weekend. Wowee. Meth lab explodes in a man's pants.
Again.
Don't you hate when your meth lab explodes in your pants?
What is with everybody making meth in their pants lately?
No.
This is the second story we've done where a meth lab has exploded in someone's pants.
I've heard of people making a meth in their pants before, but it had nothing to do with drugs. Or maybe it did.
Ted Nugent made a meth in his pants.
Yes, and that was to get out of the war, because he's a big macho guy.
Are you both eight this morning? What?
Yes.
Yes, obviously.
The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says a portable meth lab exploded in a man's pants as he tried to run away from a state trooper.
As you do.
So,
just
that
excited
happened.
To see me, or so that happened. Or is that a meth lab exploding in your pants? All right. Hey, boy. Eric in Oregon writes, staff in the MOOCs, podcast subscriber. Oh, what a good boy. As a longtime listener, loves every minute of your show. And who doesn't? Okay. So relieved to have you guys in my earbuds every day, as my boss is the kind of guy who says things like, Ann Coulter's hilarious and Dick Cheney's the man.
Oh.
Or we could mix it up. Ann Coulter's the man and Dick Cheney's hilarious.
Meanwhile, two of my coworkers have Ron Paul bumper stickers on their cars. There are only five of us in the office. It can be pretty grim. I'm so glad you exist. I worship at the altar of SM. Hope you return to Portland for Sexy Liberals so I can see you again. Buy tickets for all my friends. Eric in Oregon. Oh!
Yay!
Speaking of Sexy Liberals, kids, Minneapolis almost sold out. Only 12 VIP tickets left for the big Mother's Day weekend show in L.A. for the Pantages. We're at 70% capacity already for July.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to hurry there. VIP already sold out. But Minneapolis up next.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota Nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sexiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberals... Okay. I know he was named one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Yep.
In 2009, and he joins us now, Van Jones. Van, I've had you on the radio show before, and I'm sorry to say this, but yeah, I've seen you since on TV, and you are smoking hot, if you don't mind my saying.
I grew up. They said I had a face for radio. So
no, that's not true. Oftentimes I've had guests on the radio show, and then I'm like, oh my god, that's Van Jones.
Oh my!
You're expecting
god.
Van Johnson.
Just like wow, because you have a new book out called Rebuild the Dream. But I mean, you're obviously known as an environmental advocate, civil rights activist, attorney. Tell us about the new book.
Well, I was a grassroots outsider for about 15 years, working in some of the toughest neighborhoods in the country, Oakland, California, Richmond, California, Mission District in San Francisco, and was really focused on getting kids out of jail into jobs, especially green jobs. And then I wound up being a White House insider for about 6 months, and then an outsider again. So I've had a 360-degree view of the progressive movement, especially during the Obama era, where the White House got it wrong, where the grassroots missed opportunities. And I thought it was important, especially as we're going into this new election season, to try to share my experience. A lot of people who have my background in activism never get into that White House environment, get behind the curtain and see how things actually work. A lot of people who are behind that curtain have no idea how grassroots politics and movements work. And I thought I could put a book out there that would help both sides understand each other better so we can get more done in the next term than we got in this last term.
Well, Van, as Rick Santorum would call you, you are a snobby elitist Yale-educated attorney. But you obviously, like, this is, the way you describe it, it's a bottom-up, people-powered way to help fix the U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're known as an innovator. Talk about what that means.
Well, I think what it means is that, first of all, the vote and hope strategy has to change. I think for a lot of progressives are really confused right now. We know we don't want a Tea Party president. We also know the last, just getting Obama in there didn't get us everything we wanted. What I'm arguing for is just a return to the basic strategy that progressives have always had when things work. LBJ, who probably, the war aside, he signed more civil rights laws and anti-poverty laws than any president, but he didn't lead the civil rights movement. That was Fannie Lou Hamer and Ella Jo Baker and Bayard Rustin and Dr. King who led the movement, who created the crisis in Selma, who created a context within which that president could respond. Under George Bush, we had a great movement for peace. We had the wrong president. Under Obama, we had arguably the right president, but we had an awful movement, the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for us to reelect the president so you can have the arguably the right president, but you also have to re-energize the movement so you have the right movement at the same time. And this book is sort of a blueprint for how it is that we can get a real movement that's up and running to get the best out of this president. It's not about vote and hope, but if you don't vote at all, then you haven't learned anything from 2010. We learned in 2009 just voting will not get you everything you want, but we learned in 2010 if you don't vote, you can lose everything you have. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to both vote and march and demonstrate and put pressure in the right places and all those things. That's why RebuildTheDream.com, which is the organization that I helped to found after I left the White House, we have now 650,000 members. We're in every congressional district online. And we're fighting to cut mortgages, to cut student loans, but also to build the kind of force alongside other forces that can make sure we don't just reelect the president, but also re-energize.
Well, yeah, and as you say, it's about, getting an economy that works for the 100%, not just the top 1%. I mean, this really is going to be, I think, the year of the 99% movement, don't you?
Well, I think so. I mean, certainly the themes of the 99% movement and the themes that Occupy Wall Street, brought into global consciousness, economic inequality, Wall Street running amok, big money in politics, those are more salient and relevant now and will be going forward than they were even last year in the fall when they first came out. But the challenge that we have is that, if the Occupy movement is sort of like the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee of the 1960s, those folks occupied the lunch counters. They occupied the segregated buses for the Freedom Rides. They also helped the Mississippians occupy the voting booths. And, right now we're in a situation where we don't have that a broad tent movement that can both protest and deal with the electoral system. And so that's, I think, the next stage. My book is aimed at what I call the post-hope Democrats and independents. We're not hopeless, but we're post-hope in terms of just, vote and hope. We know we've got to be able to both vote smart, but also keep the pressure on the system to give us the changes that we voted for.
Well, I've said it over and over again, Van. It's, you've got to give this president, you mentioned 2010, you've got to give this president a Congress he can work with. Because this is not, we keep throwing out terms like unprecedented obstructionism. Well, it is.
Right.
You can look at any chart of filibusters and all of that and look, as you say, what happened when, we brought these Tea Party Republicans in. You're absolutely right. I mean, I say over and over, this president, I think, has accomplished an enormous amount against unbelievable obstructionism. So you're exactly right. It's almost like, we can still have hope, but we have to be more realistic, about what can happen if we don't vote.
I think that's right. And the thing about it is that the Tea Party movement was able to achieve something where they were kind of inside and outside the Republican Party. During the primary season, they were able to assert their ideas, and then during the general election, they were able to help the Republicans. And that's, they kind of learned the lesson from Ross Perot in the 1990s, who was the person that they backed back then, and they felt like they just elected Bill Clinton twice. There is a way to have a movement on our side that is both inside and outside the Democratic Party.
Van, you're the perfect person to talk about. You've mentioned your time as Green Jobs Advisor in the Obama White House, and of course you've mentioned the brevity of it, and we can talk about why, correct? Thank you, Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Because, obviously you're a globally recognized pioneer in the green energy economy, all of that. You were doing such good work. But, I mean, this is where our politics are today. I don't know if you saw this recent story. I thought you were the perfect person to ask. But this black congresswoman was threatened after Glenn Beck posted out-of-context video about her, just like he did with Shirley Sherrod. I don't know if you heard this, Representative Yvette Clark. She was making some comments about the Tea Party, and he edited it in a way that then she started getting death threats. I mean, this is the kind of era of politics we're in, right?
Sure, sure. I mean, I have experience with that exact strategy on his part and at the same outcomes. Part of, I think, what we have to recognize is that there is this false view that has become the conventional wisdom that we have too much partisanship in the country. That is not true. The Democrats probably could be a little bit more partisan in terms of sticking up for the stuff we actually believe in and not compromising so quickly. It's a problem of right-wing extremism. And the Republican Party being pulled so far to the right that they have to deny science, that they have to, you know, make up facts. They are now, it's become business as usual. You know, you have Alan West saying there's 84 members of the Communist Party in Congress. And now it's bad enough he said it, but where was the Republican leadership to say, hold on a second, there's a line here? Absolute silence. So when you have that kind of dynamic where even the elected officials and their biggest spokespersons distort and lie as a matter of routine, it does mean that we have to participate more, not less. There's a danger that progressives get so frustrated with what's going on that we actually participate less.
Right.
What's required is we have to participate more.
Well, and that's so powerful, Van, for you to say that as a victim of these, you know, gotcha politics that they played. I mean, in your
sure.
case, it was something that wasn't even true.
Politics is a contact sport, and I'm not a politician. I wasn't somebody who had as a big aspiration to go work in the White House. They asked me to come and help and be a special advisor. I was proud to go there when I was asked. But, you know, once they start trying to either make up stuff or just take stuff out of context so much. Look, I'm proud to admit, I was on the left side of Pluto when I was younger. I was a radical activist, distinguishable in the Bay Area. You have to work hard to be known as a radical and progressive and an activist, even in the Bay Area. So, yeah, those are my young years, and I have nothing to apologize for on that. I wish more people were idealistic in their young years. But, you know, then they take that out of context, and then they make the hay with it that they make. But, you know, I had a job before I went to the White House. I have a job now. There are a lot of people who can't say that. And we still have so many people who are out of work, whose mortgages are underwater, who are graduating off a cliff with a ton of debt and no jobs, and Washington D.C. is not working for them. It's been hijacked by corporate cash and right-wing extremism. My book, you know, Rebuild the Dream, is really about a blueprint to begin to get us back to where we were in 2008, where we have a big energized movement, but now a little bit more realistic about what it will take to both fix the political system and get the economy to work for the 100%.
I agree with Time Magazine. You are incredibly influential. I've been influenced just in the course of this interview. The book is Rebuild the Dream, and you still remain smoking hot. I'm sorry.
I can hear him blushing through the phone line.
I think I'm going to see you at an event out here soon in L.A., in fact. I'm coming to see, because I saw something you're going to be at live, and I'm like, hello, I'm there.
Sexy liberals unite.
That's
yeah,
right.
Baby. Van, I'll see you out here real soon. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You, appreciate it.
All
okay,
right. There, she goes. There he goes. Rebuild the Dream. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, see if he comes back after that fawning.
I got some political fundraiser, then come meet Van Jones. I'm like, yes.
At least you didn't call him handsome and romantic.
Oh, he is handsome and romantic. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Wesley in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. I'd like to piggyback off the president, first of all. And for you, I'm so in love with you.
Squee! Ah! Thank you, Wes.
Wow.
All right. And now, secondly, I would very much like to say that when those Republicans strategists or
elected members are asked about the president and whether or not he should brag about or boast about getting Bin Laden, they always seem to pivot back and want to talk about the economy. Mm-hmm. The American people are concerned about the economy.
Look over there. Look over there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look over there. Don't look
at that. Yeah, don't look at that huge accomplishment. No.
That's just rude. That's just not polite to bring up your accomplishments. All right. Gosh, Jim, every now and again a headline catches your attention. Man sues BMW for 20-month erection after bike ride.
Whoa.
Wow-wee. Hello.
Wait a minute. Explain,
that's a
please.
Lot longer
yes,
than
explain.
4 hours.
How did what? Huh? BMWs give you an erection?
BMW motorcycle.
Yes.
Group.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I told this story once of going on a bike trip, and there was a, cause, you know, there was a guy and his wife, and I told you he had
bike
a,
shorts and no underwear underneath, yeah. Okay.
No, he had regular shorts on, and it gave him bike riding, gave him a huge, and it was one of those things you tried not to look at. Like, I was getting the wife eyes, like, don't, stop it, stop looking, and you're like, wow, he really likes bike riding, your husband.
The wife understood that
wow.
you didn't look, that you don't like that sort of
well,
thing, right?
I know, because we discussed that, I just, it was hard to, it was impressive, it doesn't matter what your persuasion is, it's hard not to look at. It's like, what, is his seat made of Cialis? What the hell is happening? He is really excited about this bike trip. No, this case, it's a motorcycle. Yeah, California man has sued BMW North America and a motorcycle seat maker claiming the four-hour round-trip ride on his 93 BMW bike with a ridge-like seat.
Uh-huh.
I think only ruffles should have ridges. Gave him a severe case of priapism.
Wow.
That's lasted 20 months and counting.
Someone's back ordering some of those BMW bikes. Then.
This explains a lot about how
wow.
Sparks.
No, no prescription needed.
Okay. Robert.
Vroom, vroom.
Robert in Chicago. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Stephanie. Friday, I was watching WB, my second greatest show besides yours.
Thank you.
It's a show called Supernatural, and they had a young, there's a guy on there, his name is Dick. He's trying to be the president. He's like a demon. They steal from your show because they had a young lady on there that actually went up against him, got his heart. I had to find out how evil he was and expose him. Her favorite song on her Walkman that she played all throughout the show was Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, see.
And then it comes to find out at the end that they said she didn't like men. She was a lesbian.
Oh, my God. That's my shtick. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I also want to thank Mr.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't you dip yourself in flour and make a skank biscuit?
I think I will. Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, what the, Chris LaVoy,
what?
Why do you have to go harshing my buzz what on
I
Monday?
Do now?
Dippin' Dots style for bankruptcy?
Yes.
Is there no God? I mean, first of all, Pinkberry's all out of peanut butter. And now this.
Yeah.
Dippin' Dots?
Yes. Ice cream of the future, my ass.
I love Dippin' Dots.
Really?
And you told me the flavors are seasonal at the Pinkberry.
Yeah.
But what season isn't peanut butter season? None.
But they're getting ready for watermelon season.
I don't
so they have
care.
To move the crap flavors out of there
Every
to get watermelon
season
in there.
Is peanut butter season, you bastard people. Okay. I have so few things in my life.
Wow.
Please, just let me have my Dippin' Dots and my peanut butter.
What is Dippin' Dots? I've never heard of that.
They're those little, they're like
they're
amusement
like
parks. They're little ice cream dots.
Pellets. They're frozen with nitrogen.
Oh, they're
and
awesome.
So it's like, yeah. And
okay.
They used to advertise it in the 80s as the ice cream of the future.
Ah.
And now they've gone bankrupt. And
they
so
make me.
The future is now.
The bankruptcy of the future.
Yeah.
They make my brain go crazy.
Uh-huh.
I can be having a deep political discussion. I'll be like, Dippin' Dots struck.
Instant brain freeze.
They haven't gone out of business. They've just declared bankruptcy. So you can still get your Dippin' Dots.
Okay.
They're trying to reorganize into something that can make money.
Okay.
Something without dip and dots.
Something.
They're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
Maybe crack flavored. That would.
All right. Robert writes, Dear Steph, Chris, and Jim, when you left radio in the Bay Area, we didn't leave. They actually moved us to evenings in order to accommodate Glenn Beck.
Yeah, nighttime.
In the morning.
So they could lose
90% of the ratings?
Yes.
Pretty much. I couldn't bear it, so I quit my job, moved under a bridge, and started collecting shopping carts so I'd have something to talk to and something to talk to at night. But lo and behold, one night, an angel named Current appeared to me. And now, I'm back in... now I'm back in a luxury flop house with a bootleg cable. Oh,
wow.
A luxury flop house.
Yes, you can get Current all over the Bay Area on Comcast. Yep.
Dennis from Santa Fe writes, Steph, did you know that DirecTV will not allow people to get Current TV at any price if they subscribe to the Spanish instead of the English DirecTV? Why should I and thousands of other DirecTV subscribers be prevented from seeing your unsurpassed beauty, charm, and elegance? Friggin' A. In English, because we also like watching TV in Spanish. I'm not willing to give up my 200 Spanish channels, but I might switch to a different company if this persists. All DirecTV has to do is flip a switch to change this policy.
Yeah.
Adios mio, DirecTV.
Adios mio.
¿Qué pasa? Okay.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, really? Okay, let's go to...
Did you talk to your help like that?
Pam in Seattle.
What?
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pam.
I'm with you. I run to see Van Jones every chance I get.
Yeah, right?
Starting
He's awesome.
5 years ago when he spoke at the American Solar Energy Society meeting, and it's just as, you know, old folks as that, old white folks, a lot of academics, but he got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
everybody talked about him through the whole conference.
Yeah, no, he's brilliant. Just the eye candy aspect was new to me.
Ooh, well, recently also I saw him in Carbon Nation, which is a documentary where he introduces us to these green work crews he's doing in Oakland, putting solar on people's homes.
Mm. Right,
and
right.
And you meet his dad, who's this sweet, you know, middle school principal who's, you know, worked with the hard kids in Oakland.
Right.
And very, very touching when he introduces, this is my role model, this is the man that taught me everything I know, and oh my God, it's fabulous. Carbon Nation, everybody get it. Show your kids. This is an inspirational film.
Awesome. All right. Nick in Seattle on Van Jones as well. Hey, Nick.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Well, I had to Google Van Jones when you said that he was so yummy, and I agree.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, totally. So the other lovely websites you find when you Google him, though, are one of them's called The Right Perspective, and they describe him as a black nationalist and communist who was first exposed as a Marxist.
Did Alan West write that one?
On the talk show host Glenn Beck.
Right.
Tides Foundation, huh?
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah, wow. I was telling him the story of this black congresswoman that they did the same thing. They did a Shirley Sherrod on, it, the Glenn Beck's website. They edited her things to make it sound like, you know, she was saying all Tea Party people are crazy.
Communist.
Yeah.
Complete character assassination fabricated with lies.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's
talk
losing
amongst yourself.
A million.
Do you need some digging through the trash music?
While my dumpster died. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, she her spokesman said it was edited down, and what people were taking away from him was the congresswoman was saying that all Tea Party members are crazy, and Tea Party individuals show the ugly side of America. And so she got a death threat. You know, somebody said she thinks we're crazy. That bitch has not seen nothing
that's
yet.
That's proof that you're crazy. If you were issuing death threats to people.
Yeah.
And by the way, the grammar was horrible. That bitch has not seen nothing yet. Oh, come on.
Ain't not
you
seen
Tea Party
no nothing.
Moron.
No how. Not yet, none.
Anyway, but she worked right next to the office that Gabrielle Giffords worked in. So, you know, they obviously had to, call the authorities.
Yeah.
In a statement on Thursday, this is Yvette Clark is the congresswoman. She pointed out threats demonstrate the volatile political nature environment of 2012. Know that I find it extremely disappointing my words were edited and removed from context. I stand by my statement and will not be intimidated by those who use fear to make their point known. Thank you.
God, there are a lot of morons. In this country.
Yeah.
By the way, Current TV in Espanol, Televisión Actual.
Oh.
Gracias.
Sí. Okay, Eva in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eva.
Hi, it's Iva, Steph.
Iva, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right, hon. I'm just tickled to death that you're going to have me on at 6 p.m. now in the evenings in our area in the East.
Thank you. Starting today, they are re-airing the least crappy hour of our show at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
You're never crappy. You're hilarious.
Thank you.
Intelligent. I just wanted to know, this Jackie Scheckner was talking about it in her news brief there real quick, and it just blipped by. Who is Mittens test driving today for VP, a woman, and where is she from? And does she have a core or substance, or is she as intelligent as Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin? I just want to know.
Yeah. I don't know. Who is it? Oh, is that his, is he trying to fight back in the war on women? Or you know?
Whatever.
Yeah. Mike in Bloomington writes, Steph, Mitt Romney is so proud of the American capitalist economic system that he proudly extracts millions from it and then moves it offshore to avoid paying taxes on it. Thank you, Mike. Good point.
Oh, New Hampshire.
Oh, Kelly Ayotte.
Kelly Ayotte.
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 Her.
Kevin in Croton on Hudson, New York says, Steph, so Mittens is against the unfairness of union members being forced to contribute to politicians not of their choosing. By the same token, isn't it only fair that individual shareholders like myself be able to veto corporate contributions to the campaign of the Rombot 2000? Ah, another good point. Thank you. Oh, David in North Carolina. Steph, you have no idea how much I wish I had a mobile version of your sound box. He wants my box. There is a mobile version of my box. It's when I go on the Sexy Liberal Tour. He said, sure, I'd be really annoying to all my friends and family, but I'd have a lot of fun in the process. That's true. My box is fun. Okay.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Gary in Virginia. Hi, staff. Love the show. This is Gare from Virginia. I'd love to be the official chairman of the Virginia branch of Stephanie Miller Old for Obama. My lab, Fillmore, picture enclosed, would like to be the official chairman of the Virginia branch of Stephanie Miller, Old Dogs for Obama. Look how handsome and romantic Fillmore is.
Aww.
Okay, let's go to Vivian, Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Viv.
Hey, Steph, hi. I have two quick comments. The first one is the right-wing media. Meet the Press yesterday, David Gregory, yep. Who is not a Tim Russert, let that Gillespie guy just lie. And never corrected it on.
Mm-hmm.
And if Romney loves America, why do he send so much money overseas?
Thank you. Yep, exactly. Why did he ship so many jobs overseas? Why does he invest his money overseas in the Caymans and Switzerland?
I love Switzerland. Did I say I mean America. Of course I do.
Exactly.
The trees are the right height. They're too tall in Switzerland.
Tony in North Carolina. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how are you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I also would make you press myself because... he didn't ever question the guy about 9/11. You know, 8 years Joe Bush ran on 9/11 for a whole 8 years. You know, John McCain ran against Obama using 9/11. So I think you know he didn't really hit you know that topic. I think the Democrat Party in the media needs to remind people what George W. Bush and the Republican Party and Fox News were talking about 9/11 for 8 years. And we need to say this president deserves his credit for killing. Bin Laden, he should run on it every chance he gets.
Yep, I hear you. All right. Oh, we have some more crunchy audio goodness from White House Correspondents' Dinner, Jimmy Kimmel last night.
I also want to thank Mr. Mills, my 10th grade high school history teacher, who said I'd never amount to anything. Mr. Mills, I'm about to high-five the President of the United States.
And he did. That's awesome.
The president, hilarious, Saturday night. President Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner as well.
Anyway, it's great to be here this evening in the vast, magnificent Hilton Ballroom, or what Mitt Romney would call a little fixer-upper.
He was hilarious. It's hard to pick a favorite.
Take Mitt Romney. He and I actually have a lot in common. We also both have degrees from Harvard. I have one. He has two. What a snob.
Rockstar cheers. Malcolm Bennett.
Did I hear someone count down 5 seconds in there? Someone said...
5 seconds. 5 seconds.
Oh, to the president?
I heard it. I don't know who they were talking to, but 5 seconds.
Go. Go.
I've got as long as I want. You know what? I'll send a drone in. Shut up.
I'm the effing president.
I'm the effing president, for God's sakes. 5 seconds. We're going to play you off. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Make me that much stronger. Make me
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Uh-oh, etchy sketchy. Eric, what's his name? Fenstrom?
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Fernstrom? The Mitt Romney advisor.
Right.
That our sexy liberal John Fugelsang got to create the etch-sketch moment. He now says, Jim, that apparently the auto bailout was Mitt Romney's idea.
Oh, of course
wah,
it was.
Wah, 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 wah.
Huh?
Oh, that was so clear in his editorial, let Detroit go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Huh. Yes, he said his position on the bailout was exactly what President Obama followed. The only economic success President Obama's had is because he followed Mitt Romney's advice.
That's a lie. I mean, that's not even a twisting of the facts. That's a lie.
You know why he has to lie? Because he has an etchy, sketchy, wishy-washy, flippy-floppy candidate. That's why he has.
They were afraid to come out and support him. They were ashamed of their new candidate. They were reluctant to vote for a Mormon, the one they just had to nominate.
5, 6, 7, 8, who's the one they love to hate?
It was that etchy, sketchy, wishy-washy, flippy, floppy, Mittens Romney, the one they all love to hate. That almost witty, aspy, ditty, Richie Richie's Mittens Romney, Mittensum is not.
Mike in Raleigh knocks it out of the park.
Rocking it, rocking it.
And that is now posted up on your Facebook page.
Yes. All right. Wow, wow, wow. Did you see, first of all, so, you know, the president getting a Freebird rock star cheers speaking to college students. You just see their rapturous faces. This literally looked like a hostage crisis video. They had the kids arranged behind him while he lectured them, and they just looked like they'd all lost the will to live. Yes.
They just got back from the Ogden death march.
Yes. He was,
you see, that's funny.
He was attacking. Yes, the headline is Romney attacks stimulus at college that took stimulus funds. Awesome. Romney's advice to students, borrow money from your parents.
And go to a cheaper college.
Yeah. If you're young, you want to start your own business, Mitt Romney has some advice for you. Borrow money from your parents at a lecture for students, which they seem to enjoy that greatly.
Oh, my God.
In Ohio, he said his friend Jimmy John started a business by borrowing...
Who's a friend named Jimmy John?
Apparently Mittens does. By borrowing $20,000 from his parents at a low interest rate. Romney suggested that anyone in the audience could do the same.
Yeah.
All right.
As a nation of parents slap their heads into their hands. Just, what? I don't have... Mittens, not everyone has $20,000 laying around.
My dad was making probably $40,000 a year when I was in high school.
Yeah. So, Dad, can I have half your salary for this year? Awesome. And by the way, so he's one of his rumored VP presidential or vice presidential picks, Rubio. Oh, dear. Fined for receiving improper donations during the 2010 Senate race.
Sounds like a culture of corruption.
Yeah. He might be somewhere else during the next campaign. Prison. He's been officially fined by the Federal Election Commission for receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in improper donations during his Senate race 2 years ago. Not only did they find Rubio received these improper donations from hundreds of individuals, his campaign accepted illegal corporate contributions and thousands of dollars before for his primary race, even after the primary was over.
Yes, but he didn't get a $500 haircut, so he's not on trial for anything.
Exactly. He accepted $210,000 in improper contributions. The FEC has fined him $8,000, which explains right there why they do it. Because it's like, okay, well, we'll just pay the fine, and we still.
And yet, John Edwards.
Yes, got a haircut.
Could be going to the Who's Gow for the same thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting that. Oh, looky here. Julie alerts us. Steph, Eric Cantor is raising cash for his Women Up program.
For his what?
A cunning plan to do some research and launch a media blitz to get the chick vote. Perhaps they can hand out souvenir plastic vaginal probes with Vote Republican and glitter letters on the handle. I hear the ladies love their tchotchkes.
Yeah, it's going to write, you know, those letters that women write with the dots at the end of them? You know, sorority dots, we called them in college.
Daily Coast has a great piece. Republican men to study mysterious breed of Americans, lady voters. Exciting news, ladies. Big, strong Republican men apparently unable to get Mitt Romney's chief advisor on stuff that ladies care about, a.k.a. Mrs. Romney, on the phone. They're taking it upon them on themselves to study us. The new project, WGW, it's supposed to, it stands for Young Guns Women Up. The U is silent, I guess. They can't even name an organization, for God's sake.
Wow. That's That's insane.
There's going to be a six-figure investment for launch and a target budget in the mid-seven figures. To start, the group is launching a four-pronged strategy, study, research, and focus group, building an online community.
It's the prongs.
Get it? Economic analysis and issue advocacy with the goal of understanding better what language and viewpoints appeal to women. How about being a human lived in the world?
What language do we need to use to talk to women?
What do the chicks do?
Maybe it's your policies that are the problem.
Huh.
Yeah. Daily Coast writing, it sure is an exciting time to be a lady voter, isn't it? All the men folk fighting over us, little old us, trying to figure out what makes us tick, even forming focus groups to find out if...
What language should we use? Maybe Esperanto. Maybe they'd understand that.
They're forming focus groups to find out if shut up, you stupid girls, men are governing is in fact an effective campaign slogan.
Sure.
Good luck with your studies, fellas. The lady voters of America look forward to hearing what you learn about us. They're so...
How's that bitch had it coming proposal doing?
How'd that go? Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's so predictable. You saw the latest. The White House said Friday President Obama would veto a Republican measure passed by the House to extend lower interest rates on federal student loans because it takes money from health care fund that benefits women. It's like, you know, they're just...
Yes, but how do we talk to them? What language do we use?
Yes.
Any language that doesn't point out your policies.
Yeah, here's an idea. How about you make a policy of not taking money from the women's health fund?
Morons.
They're not good at governing or running for any office or anything, really.
That was a good joke the president told at the White House dinner. He said, Jimmy Kimmel got his start on the Man Show. That's the what we used to call a congressional hearing on women's health here on the Hill. Oh, Monica Crowley has apologized, everybody, for her homophobic tweet.
Monica Crowley has apologized, you guys.
I apologize if anyone is offended.
If any of you stupid dykes were offended.
Although, you know what? Her apology, to her credit, did sound sincere and complete.
Well, now it is.
Yeah.
24 hours.
I know.
In case you hadn't heard, she issued an apology to Sandra Fluke for a tweet, because she's got engaged, Sandra Fluke, and so she had tweeted to a man.
Let's get this straight. She's a hypersexual, heterosexual whore and a lesbian at the same time.
And clearly a lesbian,
right.
So she finally tweeted an apology.
Get your insults straight, at least.
Yeah, Fluke had said the initial tweet was hate speech and homophobic. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Only the right wing uses that like a automatically. It's a that's a a smear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, and she doesn't happen to be gay, but only they think. It's like eighth grade insults.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, she said, I certainly and unequivocally apologize to Sandra and any other oversensitive dykes I may have offended.
She didn't say that part.
She was thinking it.
I'm improvising.
Sound complete and sincere. I'll give her that.
This oversensitive bull dyke accepts it. Oh, look, Monica Crowley, marriage equality could boost Maryland's economy by $90 million a year.
That's a lot of money.
Now she likes it. it could boost. They just did a study by $90 million a year.
Oh, well, in that case, why didn't you say so?
Why didn't you say so? By the way,
what?
Tomorrow on the big show,
Zach Walls.
Do you remember this kid's speech? He has written a new book called My Two Moms.
Yep.
And he gave this amazing and eloquent speech for marriage equality.
In Iowa.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it was just, he's amazing. And he has a new book out, and we'll talk to him tomorrow.
Yes,
very, very
will.
Exciting. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy for tech support at my house and various other chores.
Yeah.
Jim Ward on harmonica, electric guitar. Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.